My sister's dog, named Jazzy, had been deaf and blind for years. And when the dog began suffering painful tumors and was sick, it was time to end her suffering and have her put down. And as we were explaining to her 7-year-old daughter, the child asked, "Is Jazzy going to heaven?" And I said, "Yes, I think she will. That in dog heaven, she would be healthy again and be able to do her favorite thing, which is chase squirrels." And Susan thought for a minute. And then she looked at me and she says, "So dog heaven must actually be the same thing as squirrel hell." Well, today I want to share with you what Jesus says about heaven, specifically the kingdom of heaven. In his description of the kingdom of heaven, he talks about a mustard seed. He talks about yeast. He talks about treasures. And my favorite subject, he talks about fishing and fishing nets. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and he sowed it in the field. It's the smallest of all seed. Now, Daniel has had great success over the years with his gardening. And he has planted oodles of mustard seed and turnip seed. And true enough, a mustard seed is just so tiny. But he has never in all of his gardening experience had a mustard plant come up that the birds of the air could come and build a nest in. It just didn't happen. So this was probably no doubt some different variety of mustard from what we have around here. But just imagine such a minute, such a teeny tiny little thing that can grow into something so wonderful and so big that it gives shelter to the birds of the air. Let's look at that mustard seed and at the leaven or the yeast that the woman put into the flour. It didn't seem like a whole lot. But whenever you get it in there and you get it all mixed up, they both expand and to become far more significant than at first anticipated. And at the same time, Jesus had already indicated that the kingdom of heaven was present in his ministry. He therefore intended that these stories, this metaphoric reference, to be applied to the work that was being done in his name. He's saying that regardless of what you do, regardless of how small or insignificant it may seem, if you do it in my name, I will multiply. I will make something great out of it. And he's telling his disciples in these parables, "Look, guys, this is what's happening. I'm blessing, regardless of what effort you may make, I'm blessing your ministry. I'm blessing your efforts to spread the gospel." Jesus is telling his disciples that the word of truth, like the mustard seed and like the leaven in the bread, when sown and stirred into the hearts, bring forth a crop of abundance of the fruits of the Spirit. Think about it. When we pray, when we read our Bible, when we study the Word, we are taking in that leaven. We're taking in that mustard seed. And we're allowing it to grow. And it's being nurtured. And we will have sheaves to lay at the Master's feet. We will see souls saved and brought into the kingdom of God. And that is the ministry, people, that God has given to every one of us. To sow that mustard seed. To sow the word of Christ. So that people will hear this good news and accept Christ as their personal Savior. Thus the kingdom of heaven grows. In that same chapter, chapter 13, verses 33, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took, and she mixed it in with 3 measures of flour until it was all mixed up. It was all leavened." And in verse 44 again, Jesus refers to the kingdom of heaven as a treasure that's hidden out in a field. And when someone found and hid, and then in his joy he goes and he sells all that he has, and he buys that piece of land. He buys that field. It is our responsibility today. It is our calling. It is our ministry to spread the good news about this treasure to be found in the kingdom of heaven. Christ gave his all to purchase our salvation. He is the treasure that we seek today. In verse 45, Jesus says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And on finding one pearl, just one of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it." You know what that says to me? It says to me that Jesus would have given his life for a pearl like me, a pearl like any one of you. He gave every single thing that he had for us. If there had been no other person in the world but me or but you, Jesus Christ would have still given his life. Give him all that he had for your salvation. Down in verse 47, Jesus ends his description of the kingdom of heaven by saying that it's like a net that's thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. Then when the net's full, you draw it back in to the shore. And you sit down and you begin to sort the fish. And you put the good fish in one basket and you throw out the bad. When fishermen cast their nets, they usually haul in a mixed bag of fish. It seemed like at one point in our life, every time me and Daniel went fishing, we caught, what was it we called it? Like roaches. Trash fish. And then finally, once in a while, we'd catch a keeper. Well, we have seen croakers that tasted pretty good in a hard time. But these little old roachy fish were not fit to eat, so they were tossed. And Jesus is saying in our study today that when we go out into the world and we spread the gospel, we're going to have a mixed bag. There's no two people in this congregation this morning that are just alike. And we won't want to admit it, but some of us are keepers and some of us are not. But you know what? We can all be keepers in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
We can all have joy in our salvation. If there's ever anything in your life that will make you feel good about accepting Jesus Christ, it's a fact of knowing that when you've had the blood of Christ applied to your heart and life, your soul, you are a keeper. We're keepers today for the kingdom of heaven. These fishermen judge the fish. And they cull out and they dispose of everything that is unfit for consumption. But Jesus goes on to say that in verse 49, "So will it be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the good or from the righteous, And they'll throw them in the evil into a furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The kingdom of heaven also involves a judgment, a culling out. You may say it's separating the good from the evil. According to HarperCollins Bible Commentary, at the close of the age, angels will separate evil people from the kingdom in the same way that fishermen sort out their catch. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus speaks of this kingdom of heaven as a thing of great value, something worth sacrificing everything for just that pearl that the merchant sacrificed everything for. In the field with the treasure that someone sold everything that they had to purchase. Matthew frequently refers to the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He says it's a sphere or a realm of influence here and now, as well as a realm of bliss beyond death. You know, we as Christians have so much to look forward to. We can enjoy the salvation that we have here and now. But yet we're laying up treasures for eternal bliss, for eternal joy, for peace that will never end. Finding the life that God intends for us to live is like discovering that valuable treasure. Life under God's righteous rule is to be sought above everything else. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus calls his disciples to fish for people. The image of sorting fish may signify a judgment of those who have responded to the ministry. This would be a judgment of those in the church rather than those in the world at large. The trash fish, then, would not symbolize evildoers, but more specifically, those people who call Jesus Lord and do not do the will of the Father. That makes us be trash fish. When we say, God is my Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. When we pray and we call Jesus Lord, but yet we do not live for him, we are automatically placing ourselves in the category of the trash fish. That's scary. Jesus really has a way of getting our attention in Scripture. You see, we aren't judged by what we want to do and can't. We're judged by what we ought to do and we don't do. Well, I know I should have, but I just didn't. I didn't have time. Life is short. Eternity is forever. We need to take time to put Jesus Christ and our ministries for him above everything else. If you read on in verse 51, you will see that after all of this, Jesus asked the disciples, he says, have you understood all of this? Have you understood what I've said? And they assured him, yes, we understand. Then Jesus told them, now you understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They would not be able to combine the old word of the law in the Old Testament with the new words of Jesus about the kingdom unless they understood. Do you realize that we, just like the disciples, will be judged on what we do with this knowledge? Well, I know I should, and you don't. Well, I just didn't have. But you did. We will be judged what we do with our knowledge of this risen Savior. Whether you choose to believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell, that's between you and God. I personally believe this morning that there is a heavenly home that's being prepared for me after this life. But there is a kingdom of God here and now of which I am enjoying all of the benefits of. I'm enjoying God's blessings. I'm enjoying God's protection. And most of all, I enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. The presence of the Holy Spirit and knowing that you are a born-again child of God is worth it all.